I'm WBJC's Interim General Manager, Jonathan Polevsky. The end of June marks the end of our fiscal year, and I'd like to thank everyone who pledged during this time to support WBJC. And I thought it might be nice to say thank you by highlighting the life and works of a different composer each day until June 30th. Let's call it 30 and 30. By the way, if you didn't make a pledge, you can still be a part of our fundraising efforts this fiscal year by going to WBJC.com. And with that, mes petits amis, here's 30 and 30, number two. Have thought that this street-savvy Jewish kid from Brooklyn would be interested in anything resembling music. As a boy, George Gershwin was more interested in stickball than Schubert. However, after hearing his friend Maxi Rosenzweig play Dvorak's Humoresque on the violin, he was sold. He taught himself to play the piano by hanging around piano showrooms and absorbing anything he could from anyone who would let him near a keyboard. There was already a piano in the Gershwin household, and no one was happier than George's brother Ira when he learned that George would be the family pianist. At 15, George Gershwin dropped out of school to begin his career in the music business. He worked in Tin Pan Alley as a song plugger and piano pounder. Very soon, George grew tired of promoting other people's songs and began writing his own. His first had the catchy title, "When You Want 'Em, You Can't Get 'Em, and When You Got 'Em, You Don't Want 'Em." Gershwin didn't just want to be a popular songwriter, he wanted it all. Devoid of any form of formal music schooling, he was going to become a composer. His lullaby from 1919 is a wonderful marriage between the blues and the string quartet. The following year, Gershwin would become a household name when Al Jolson recorded Swanee. The lyrics were by Irving Caesar, a.k.a. Isidore Kaiser. Swanee was written on a New York bus in just a few minutes. Though written in the faux nostalgic Southern style, Kaiser and Gershwin confessed that they had never been south of 14th Street. The song sold 1 million copies in sheet music and 2 million records. Gershwin's tastes and interests were nothing but comprehensive and small-c Catholic. Living in New York and newly affluent, he made it his business to see everything he could. Jazz, ragtime, symphony, Yiddish theater, everything intrigued him. His first opera entitled Blue Monday explored African-American music in a manner few had done before.
Monday's the day your loving mama shakes you. Monday's the day the undertaker takes you. Monday's the one day the white guys choose.
While Blue Monday was not a success, it led to George Gershwin meeting the great American bandleader Paul Whiteman. Whiteman casually asked Gershwin to write a piano concerto, and thinking it would come to nothing, Gershwin agreed. No one was more surprised than George himself when he read in the New York Times that he was actually working on the piece. Written in about a month with the help of Whiteman's orchestrator Ferdy Groffé, Rhapsody in Blue was the perfect synthesis of European classical music and American popular music. In one fell swoop, George Gershwin had invented American concert or classical music. Sadly, there isn't time to talk of American in Paris, the great American tone poem, or Porgy and Bess, the great American opera. Suffice it to say that Gershwin's death at the ridiculously young age of 38 in 1937 of a brain tumor was an immeasurable loss. At least we can treasure what we have from the man we love. I'm WBJC's Interim General Manager, Jonathan Polevsky. If you'd like to support WBJC, you can go to WBJC.com.